kind of tired of it as a town. It's a rare instance where you have a university that doesn't, they don't have fraternities. They don't have a lot of big off-campus houses where they can throw parties. They congregate on public space without consequences. In a fraternity, if fraternity gets out of control, something happens, you know, the universities usually have some leverage. They'll shut down the fraternity. They'll kick them off campus. You know, this university has not, used that kind of leverage.
You're hearing from First Selectman Bill Gerber out of the town of Fairfield. He's talking about SantaCon, which has become an annual event. It is typically hosted by Fairfield University students who usually at least are renting the properties down near the Fairfield Beach area. And it has grown exponentially. Thousands and thousands of students attend this. And we're even hearing students from other states come in to be at SantaCon. In fact, I think I saw an article a few days ago sharing that SantaCon has become a destination for college students here in New England. And again, kind of what the First Selectman's saying, it seems like the finger keeps getting pointed back at Fairfield University. So we wanted to talk to Fairfield U about this. Obviously, they're very aware of it, and we wanted to know their involvement with it and hear their response to SantaCon. Joining us now is Jennifer Anderson. And Jennifer, with Fairfield U, thank you so much for coming on to talk about this. I really appreciate it. Let's start with where Fairfield U's thoughts are with SantaCon.
Thank you for having me on. Before I delve into that question, I think something that's super important, and I think that would be helpful to your listeners for me to provide, is really some context and data around Fairfield as it relates to economic contribution and our efforts with engaging in the town of Fairfield. Fairfield, as you know, you've lived in the town, has been a beacon in the town for over 80 years. And 80 years from now, it will certainly continue to be that. It was founded to serve the greater community, fostering innovation, and really, you know, prosperity for the town of Fairfield and the greater region. So when you think about the contribution of Fairfield, I mean, there's both financial and, cultural. And, you know, every year it's estimated that Fairfield contributes an average of $1 billion annually through an independent study that the Connecticut Conference of Independent Council does each year. And, you know, we get the question a lot in terms of, you know, the funding, and I know Selectman Gerber mentioned that as well. But over the past two and a half years, Fairfield has paid the town of Fairfield over $3.8 million in taxes, fees, dues, and services. And actually, the town of Fairfield will receive in 2025 $5 million from the state just for having two private universities in the town. You know, and I do want to mention rental properties as well, you know, relative to the economic value. You know, you're familiar with the beach community. Mm-hmm. Those students are paying upwards of $80,000 to $100,000 over a nine-month period of time, which is producing significant, you know, rental income and rental tax revenue to the town and the state. So when you think about all that, along with what we provide in terms of summer camp offerings and cultural programming and things of that nature, I just think it's important to put that all into context because, you know, taking a singular event that does happen to get a lot of PR in the local region, it's important for people who are new to the town to understand that context and have that history. You know, the bigger picture is important. The town of Fairfield is better off because of our two universities. You know, I've lived here for over 25 years. I was a student at Fairfield. My kids have gone to the school systems here. And, you know, the universities are even promoted by the town to symbolize economic strength and vibrancy. So for decades, you know, I've been at Fairfield now 10 years, so certainly in my 10 years here, we've engaged with the town departments, you know, to support both financial and in resources their actions to minimize the impact of these large events. You know, having worked very closely with Mike Tetro and Brenda Kupchak administrations, it was, you know, a very collaborative, productive process where we looked, you know, annually and we looked at what the university could do from a financial support standpoint, but also obviously a communication standpoint with our students who are living off campus.
So I think that's really important that you outline the things that you did, Jennifer, because, you know, there's like I always say, there's multiple sides to every story. And I think it is important to certainly recognize the fact that you are correct. Fairfield U is something that Fairfield is always touting. and is certainly very proud of. And it does bring an economic boost to the town, no question. I'm curious, when you say millions of dollars being paid to the town, so like you brought up $5 million for the 2020,
yep.
Was it this year or next year, or what was that amount? Sorry.
So for 2025, it'll be just over $5 million, and
okay.
That's funding from the state that comes for a variety of reasons. You might be familiar with pilot funding or MRSA funding,
sure.
And things of that nature. So, yeah, so in 2025, it'll be just over $5 million.
Okay, so when we give millions of dollars, I don't give anything. When Fairfield U gives millions of dollars to the town of Fairfield, does any of that money cover the aftermath costs? So, for example, the First Electman shared on our show that there's going to be a bill for the amount of law enforcement that needed to come out, the amount of people who needed to come out to clean up, to handle the situation. It's going to be a lot of money from the town. And they said that Fairfield U will cover part of that bill. And, of course, residents are like, well, why should we have to cover any of it? Is any of that part of the millions of dollars that goes to the town?
It is. Yep, it is. So the university has long participated in stakeholder meetings, and these meetings include town administration, police, fire, resident associations, landlords, and local officials to coordinate, you know, really a safe and respectful environment for off-campus living. So when we look at that on an annualized basis, we also look at, you know, there's going to be unanticipated things that happen, you know, unsanctioned events. You know, these students are living on private property down in the beach area, you know, and the students have rights from that perspective. But we know that it's important for the university to partner and be a good neighbor to the community and the town. So when we sit down, we say, you know, to the police force, we really rely on them to say, what's your recommendation? And we'll take your recommendation and we will go by that and we will fund that. So we've always been a supporter financially, you know, to the town of Fairfield. And that's something that has happened for a very long time. That's not new.
We have Jennifer Anderson, who is here from Fairfield University, and we're talking about SantaCon. Jennifer, question for you. I did grow up in Fairfield, and I'm very familiar with Fairfield U. In fact, my brother went to Fairfield Prep, so shares the campus with you guys. But are you a dry campus?
We are not a dry campus.
So, you know, call this an elementary question, but why not move SantaCon to campus then? Wouldn't that eliminate a lot of the issues that neighbors and law enforcement and so on have with SantaCon?
Yep, it's a good question, one that we get a lot. I mean, I think, again, context is important, right? Since the 1960s, university students have lived in the Fairfield University, and, you know, student residents and full-time residents have coexisted for over 60 years. And, you know, for us, we're an institution that guarantees housing for 4 years. But as part of a student's development and formation, as they mature and they, you know, they are moving towards independent living, it's important to give students in their senior year the opportunity to live off campus. So when students are released off campus, they're released to go live in the community, and you know they sign independent leases with landlords. They you know participate in their neighborhood activities and associations, and you know I think it's important that you know by the time students are seniors, they are living independently. They're coming to campus for classes and so forth, but they're in an independent living situation. That, you know, that where they are on private property in the town of Fairfield. And, you know, I think it's again, important to recognize that because that's an important developmental component for students. But it's also, you know, when they live down in the beach community, and not all live in the beach community, but when they live in the beach community, they're, you know, they're with their you know, they're fellow students and they're living in an environment where they want to be in that environment. So I think that's important to, you know, to spell out.
So another question, Jennifer, what about more consequences? I don't know if anything is sent out to students ahead of SantaCon. I know, you know, for example, Notre Dame of Fairfield, the high school in town, they told students, if you're caught at this party, automatic expulsion, no questions asked. If there's proof that you're there, you're not coming back to school. You're done. Is there any sort of consequence for students who, for example, get a ticket, end up at the hospital, are arrested? I mean, those things were happening at this party that got out of control.
Of course there is. So I'm actually surprised that that's been a question because, you know, of course there's consequences. So if students are, you know, again, this is important context, right? SantaCon happened on private in-town property. It's estimated that over 60% of the attendees were not Fairfield University students, and we can thank social media for that. You know, from our accounts, there were at least two TikTok influencers that shared and attended SantaCon. So you can imagine what that does in the social media realm. And, you know, when you think about SantaCon, it's 4 to 5 hours of one day, you know, in a 365-day year, right? And, you know, we're not happy that out-of-town students are coming to this. And, of course, we did a tremendous amount of communication to students. We shared the letter from the police department that was sent to regional universities and local high schools. We communicated directly with students. And any student documented, either officially or unofficially, is processed through the dean of students' office. And discipline can be anywhere from a warning to, dismissal from the institution, depending on the infraction and depending on the situation. So, students, just because they're living off campus, doesn't mean they're not held to the same disciplinary standards. So I think that's important to understand. But I also think it's important to understand that this event has only been since 2022. This is not a tradition in the eyes of what Fairfield University considers tradition. It's 3 years. It has grown because of social media. But when you think about the number of infractions that were incurred relative to the number of people that were there, 75% of those were non-Fairfield students.
My understanding, though, as well, Jennifer, not to be combative, but my understanding is that it was about 200 students per law enforcement official. I mean, it was way too hard to ticket and to actually reprimand or to handle it. It was such an influx of people, was my understanding.
Yeah, it was an influx of people for sure. And, you know, I mean, I think that the town, you know, the town met internally, I believe, to plan for this. I think there was an expectation, certainly by the police department and others, that there was going to be similar volumes to last year. Again, we're happy to partner, as we always have over the course of decades, with the town to help resolve this, and do what we can in our part to help control the event in a better way.
And Jennifer, one more thing. I was told that Clam Jam has gotten a lot better, a lot more under control, a lot better handled. And I'm wondering, as you just mentioned, SantaCon has not been around for very long. It doesn't seem like it's going to go away anytime soon. I mean, there are SantaCons all across the country, and this one just keeps gaining popularity, good, bad, or indifferent. Are there things that could be done with SantaCon, sort of like what was done for Clam Jam, to get it better under control?
So I think that, again, you know, history is important. And I know you lived in the town. I don't know if you were here in the 90s. I was
yes.
a student in the 90s at Fairfield. So,
yep.
I remember Clam Jam then. It was a, 3-day event that happened, over the course of a weekend in the spring. Clam Jam was actually founded by a university student in the 1980s. So the university didn't take it over Clam Jam until the early 2000s. And the reason it was 2014, I think, actually, when it was taken over. But I think the reason that happened was because it was a longstanding tradition that, was generations of stags. And that's just not SantaCon. You know, SantaCon's been here for 3 years. It's not that, the university, not something we sought, not something we have direct control over. And the beach has really organically become a location for this, like you said, it's a national and international trend. In recent years, in places all over the country, SantaCon has gained popularity. And so I think, I think for that reason, it's something that, we want to partner with the town with and help, get it under control. But, you know, as far as clam jam, it's a very different context there.
Really quick, Jennifer, have you guys gotten the bill yet for this most recent SantaCon? And how much of it is Fairfield U footing?
Sure. So we actually did get the bill from the fire department, and we're funding 100% of it.
Okay, so the residents aren't paying for any of the aftermath?
Nope.
Jennifer Anderson, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on, and we're glad to get the Fairfield U side of the story. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa.